Lovely to see you all this morning, if only partially. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look now at these amazing works of Jesus carried out through Peter, we pray that you will take our minds and think through them, take my lips and speak through them, and take each and every one of our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been taking this journey through Acts in recent weeks, it's been, I think, something like a progressive meal with many substantial courses along the way, helping to refresh and nourish our Christian well-being. But today, on this All Saints Sunday, we come in chapter 9, verses 32 to 43, that David's just read, to what at first looks nothing more than a sandwich, and a naffy sandwich at that. A naffy sandwich experienced by me many times in my short but memorable service in Her Majesty's Armed Forces is two large slices of bread either side of a very small filling. Sometimes no filling at all, just margarine. And that's what we have here, don't we? Two substantial developments in the early life of the Christian church. On the one hand, the call and the change of the arch persecutor Saul into an evangelist Paul, and on the other side, the opening of the gospel to the Gentiles through Cornelius. Either side of a couple of miracles by Peter in the town of Lydda and the city of Joppa, or Jaffa, as those of you who like oranges know it better. Compared to what Luke has already written and what he's about to write, it's not a lot to get excited about. 12 verses which most commentators on Acts dismiss in a couple of paragraphs. But in this second book of Luke that he writes for Theophilus, his gospel, of course, being the first, he doesn't include anything without reason. He's a meticulous writer, a good journalist, and everything here is reported for a purpose. So let's take a closer look. Why is it important for Luke's first reader to know about these two incidents, and what relevance do they have for us today, here in All Saints Church on All Saints Day? We know from the previous verse 31 that the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was enjoying a time of peace after the widespread persecution following the stoning of Stephen. Saul, the arch persecutor, had been transformed into Paul, now speaking boldly in the name of the Lord throughout Jerusalem. And many followers of Jesus, like Peter and John and Philip, had moved into other parts of the country, taking the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with them. Well, after a short preaching tour in Samaria and some time back in Jerusalem, Peter is traveling around the country, visiting and encouraging the Lord's people, as it says in verse 32. Small gatherings of Christians meeting in people's houses or in the local synagogue. He finds himself in Lydda, about 25 miles northwest of Jerusalem, where he comes across a man called Aeneas, paralyzed and bedridden for the past 8 years. Does that ring a bell? Do a fast rewind to Acts 3, when Peter and John are taking an afternoon walk to the temple to pray. They meet an unnamed man, lame from birth. And he asks them for money. Peter says some memorable words. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And the man jumps to his feet and begins to walk. And this leads to Peter preaching the gospel to a great crowd of onlookers. And then, under arrest, telling the elders and the rulers of Israel, know this, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Fast forward to Lydda and Aeneas, verse 34. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Aeneas got up. A miracle of healing. With what result? Verse 35. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. And what happened with the healing in Jerusalem? Verse 4 of chapter 4. Many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. So once again, Peter is performing a healing miracle, not by his own power, but again, in the name of Jesus. He's being used to continue the work of Jesus by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, this second book of Luke should not really be called the Acts of the Apostles, but the continuing Acts of Jesus Christ, because that is what it is. Jesus channeling what he wants to do through Peter, John, and Philip, and all the rest of them, all with the objective not of showing signs and wonders and miracles, but of spreading the gospel, growing the church. So in this little sandwich of a story, Peter is being used as a channel for Christ. And in the second incident, Luke tells us about, the channeling continues. Verses 36 to 42 tell us about Tabitha, a Christian lady in Joppa, who was always doing good and helping the poor, particularly in making and giving out clothes. In fact, her name in Greek, Dorcas, came to be associated with those who make and give clothes to the poor. And in both languages, her name means gazelle, which is rather lovely, I think. Well, Tabitha had sadly died. And Peter answers the call of the Christians in Joppa, goes to the house, clears the room of mourners, prays, says, Tabitha, get up, takes her by the hand, and she is raised from the dead. Rewind again to Luke's first book about Jesus, chapter 8, where we find Jesus in a room with a dead girl, Jairus' daughter. He took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. And down by the main door, we have a little memorial tablet which says just those words in French. So again, using Peter as a channel, Jesus continues the work that he's already started. And this time, as with Aeneas, it's not to encourage his disciples by a miracle, it's to spread the gospel and grow the church. Verse 42, this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. So we find, don't we, that far from being an affy sandwich containing very little to inspire or encourage us, these few verses are more of a BLT, a club sandwich, a super subway, bursting with a wealth of flavours and giving us real food for thought. Because we see here, don't we, that if we want the gospel of Jesus to be spread in this deeply secular country of ours, and if we want his church to grow, as it did in Lydda and Joppa all those years ago, then each one of us needs to emulate Peter and be a channel for Jesus to work through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not to raise the dead or to heal the cripple, but to bring life to the spiritually dead, and to bring hope to the spiritually crippled by what we say and how we act in our daily lives. Oh, but hang on a minute, I say. This is Peter we're talking about, a key member of Jesus' inner circle, a saint with a capital S, someone who has churches and squares and even a basilica named after him, someone who is thought to have laid down his life for his faith. He may be my namesake, but don't expect me as an ordinary Christian with the failings of a fallible human being to be able to follow his example. And in reply, the Lord Jesus, through the Bible, puts me straight. Yes, Peter is a saint, but so are all who believe in me. Who are the Lord's people in Lydda and the believers in Joppa but saints? Who does Paul write to in his letters about the saints? And what is all this about being fallible? Peter was fallible in the extreme. He even denied me three times. Yet he was the one in Caesarea Philippi who answered that key question that everyone will be asked eventually. Who do you say that I am? His reply is the one that every Christian must make. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And because you and all the other saints in All Saints and St. Richard's Crowborough have given that reply, I can only say to you, as I said to Peter that day on the beach at Galilee, after my resurrection, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Yes, there's no getting away from it. As we mirror Peter's belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, our Saviour and Lord and King, so we are inheritors of the command that Peter was given. Even though many of those sheep have now turned away from their shepherd, and many more care little about him. We used to sing a chorus in Sunday school many years ago. It was written over a century ago, but perhaps timeless in its message. Some of you may remember it. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. The words may be somewhat archaic, but the sentiment is right up to date. Our broken society needs Jesus, and it can find him through us, the saints of Christ in Crowborough, if only we will commit ourselves to being channels of his power. Amen.